America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
We are back. It is Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri. It is the best boxing podcast in the entire world. It's the most active boxing podcast twice a week. We're like 1985 Mike Tyson, Chris. We're just active and we're knocking out the competition, taking them all out one by one, even though we like them and we're kind of friends with them in this boxing industry.
Yeah, no, it's all our peers. We do like them, but we do two times a week. And I literally went to Dan last week. I was like, hey, maybe we should do like extra shows. And he's like, whoa.
Extra shows. That's extra shows.
I mean, Dan, there's so much going on in boxing right now. We're so red hot. It's like we're missing out, you know, but whatever. Every 3 days is good.
Let me talk to our powerful partners over at PPV.com if they want to increase the content. They are our wonderful partners. They are powering us. They literally power me out of bed and right in front of this camera. They are the premier place to order live pay-per-view events. They have AEW. They have boxing. No subscriptions. Stream it to your any device you want. Join us in the live chat once we roll around with another big fight night and all that great stuff. So I love our partners over at PPV.com. This episode's interesting, Chris, because we don't have a big fight to preview this weekend. No, Edgar Berlanga is fighting in a co-main event, which is quite interesting.
You go from Canelo to co. Okay.
I've never seen anything like this. I haven't got an explanation. It's very strange, but he's active, just like our podcast.
Well, he's fighting a guy that hasn't been doing anything.
His opponent looks like a bizarro Edgar Berlanga. It looks like if Berlanga didn't make money and he, like, all right, this is kind of messed up, like drove like a UPS truck in the Bronx.
All right, so he actually was coming up the same time I was.
That was rude. I'm taking that back. I'm sorry.
You're a very rude guy. Yeah, anyway, he rigged up. his opponent,
getting his name now.
Yeah, Ortiz. So he was coming up the same time I was, and I remember. I think I've been to his fights. Like we might have even fought on the same cards at some point. But he was very talented and like.
Jonathan Gonzalez Ortiz.
Yeah, no, he was a guy when I was coming up. He was a 47-pounder, 54-pounder. He had trouble with weight and then eventually grew himself into or ate himself into 160. And then, you know, he disappeared for a while.
Dude, he didn't fight for 10 years.
Yeah, I think he had some legal troubles. Don't quote me on that.
Took a 10-year hiatus from May 2014 to March 2024.
Yeah, he fought Rogelio Medina, the Porky, back in 2014. Porky Medina. My coach, Derek Santos, my last coach that I worked with for a couple fights and who I've known for a very long time, trained Ortiz for that Medina fight, the Porky Medina fight. He underperformed, and then he disappeared. And, wow. You know, where he went, nobody knows, but he was gone. He's gone for 10 years.
Our friend Justin Shackle is down there covering the fight for Matchroom. I can maybe ask him, get some investigative journalism and be like, yo, where you been, bro? Because now you're in a co-main event. And if you pull off this upset, I'd like to see the odds on this. If you pull off this upset, that's insane.
Yeah, I mean... Listen, he was talented, but again, like we're now fighting at 168. This guy was a 47-pounder when I was active. You know, he ended up at 160. I think this might be the highest he's ever fought, especially.
It's kind of like Brock Jarvis, who our guy Keith Thurman knocked down.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic that we're gonna talk about. But in terms of this fight, I mean,
this isn't where we wanted to lead the show off by any means. But keep going.
Yeah, no, I mean it is Berlanga.
It's organic and it's happening.
It's Orlando. It's you know, a lot of Puerto Ricans are going
to
be there.
Yes, I've been South there. Florida. I've been to that very resort. It is and Orlando has a lot of Puerto Ricans.
So the question is going to be, what is the draw of Edgar Berlanga now? Right, you said he's fighting on an undercard. He's not the main event, and he's fighting in Orlando.
I feel like that's like a contractual thing. Something happened. Keith Conley would know. He manages Berlanga.
He used to manage me. I'm not gonna ask him about.
It's got to be a contractual thing. It's got like they wanted to get that maybe third fight in with Matchroom because he's not like he's kind of like talking poorly about Hearn Berlanga. He's you know he did an interview where you know he's up. Seems like he's upset with Matchroom. This is all speculation. Seems like he's upset with Matchroom, which is strange because Eddie Hearn got you a Canelo fight. You should be kissing the feet, shining his shoes, holding his hand.
I'm going to pump the brakes on that. Keith Connolly got that fight.
Okay.
Hearn because I mean, of course, but Berlanga was with Top Rank.
Yeah.
And they let him go.
Correct.
And then in the interim, Connolly brings him to Matchroom. Mm-hmm. But the Canelo fight was already in the works, guys.
This stuff doesn't happen overnight. Yeah, I love Keith Conley.
He's the best manager in boxing.
100%. He keeps adding stars every day. He looks like Gordon Gekko with his slick hair and his suits. Saw him at the New York City press conference. I want him to manage me.
He's better looking than Gordon Gekko. Let's
greed is good. Honest. I want him to manage me. I want him to manage my life. Get me out of bed.
He should manage our podcast. That'd
be great.
It comes at a steep price, though. That's the only thing. I mean, if we're willing to give up percentages, you know.
Yeah, but we're
taking all the money.
It's true. I was planning on talking Berlanga at the end of the show, but we might as well keep going with this. He wins this fight. Like, there's some really fun fights for Edgar Berlanga. Like, there is Caleb Plant.
He had a hit list. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some fun fights for Edgar Berlanga if he gets past this with Matchroom or whatever he does next. Like, Edgar Berlanga could fight Caleb Plant. He could fight Jaime Munguia. Mm-hmm. He could fight one of the Charlos. He could fight Mabili. He's in a fun weight class, and let's be honest, he is a name. After that Canelo fight, you love him or you hate him, and people are going to tune in for Berlanga. He's got power. You know, he held up himself pretty well against Canelo to get knocked down. Yeah. So, get through this. Co-main event, whatever, and have to deal with people online chirping at you and, you know, what all that stuff. I don't know what the heck happened, why he's the co-main, and why they're not kind of building him up even more. But get through this fight. Fight Caleb Plant in the U.S. in Vegas. Fight. Get Charlo out of retirement. I don't know. Like, I think the Plant fight. Plant Berlanga. It's got everything. Got, you know, that's the one I want to see.
Yeah, and that's probably not going to be the next fight. I'm gonna guess that.
Because I think Berlanga wants a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one, but it's a tough fight. It's a really tough fight. And I don't know. I just don't think that's going to be next. I think that a Charlo resurrection is more likely. I think that. Even like a, it's crazy to sound like Gabe Rosado might actually step back into this and then do an all Puerto Rico affair.
That was what I thought was going to, he was in the running. I felt like he,
yeah,
like
I thought so too.
Everything I heard, it was going to be Berlanga homecoming, March around this weekend, March 15th was the date I heard. And it was going to be in Puerto Rico and Gabe Rosado, who we know. And I work with at the Zone on occasion.
That's the main event.
Yeah, it was really campaigning for that fight, really pushing hard for it, and I don't know. But Plant has a big name. I think it's a winnable fight for Berlanga. I would favor Plant, but he's a lot more active than a Charlo. And, you know, we got Munguia, who signed with Top Rank, and Munguia is fighting Bruno Saras on the May 4th Canelo card. So I don't see Berlanga going back with Top Rank or working with them. I can see Berlanga, I don't know. The business of boxing is so weird right now, so... Berlanga's a name, and he's going to look for a big fight. And like Plant is the one that comes to mind, just because Plant is more active than the others.
Well, he's got to fight. He's got to get past this guy, and he's the biggest question mark on the block. I mean, again, I remember this guy coming up. The guy, he could fight. This weight class is completely foreign, but I don't know what to expect. There's a bunch of question marks, but like, can he still fight? I mean, the guy's undefeated. He's never been stopped. You know, so
yeah, it's that 10-year.
How this fight plays out is really important for what's next for Belanga. But that's really that's the only way we can leave this.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into how we were thinking about starting this episode off. And that is Nioa Inoue is returning to the U.S. He's going to be fighting in Las Vegas on May 4th, which is a Sunday night at T-Mobile Arena. He's fighting Ramon Cardenas. This is Inoue's second fight of 2025. It was supposed to be Don't Call Me Pablo Picasso. He's out. Cardenas is in, who you're familiar with. Inoue is promising a third fight in Japan against Akhmadaliev, which kind of makes this fight with Cardenas a little more palatable. I like it. It's cool to see Inoue in Vegas. Like, this is great. Like, let's get this guy some publicity. Not that he needs it, but let's get him in. That's the fun of this fight, is that Inoue is coming back to Vegas, coming back to the States, and he's staying active.
Perfectly put. I mean, it's Inoue, so the world is watching. It's fun because he's, you know, coming to the U.S. Top Ranks was so cool about doing, like, you know, the monster, and it's like Godzilla, like that coming back to America.
Yeah.
Because Inoue has fought in America before. But this is not at this stage of his career, not this level where he's at right now. Ramon Cardenas, Mexican, ProBox TV signee, you know, like, so it's near and dear to my heart because it's the company that I work with, and I've called his last three fights in a row. He's a talented kid. Joel Diaz is his trainer. He loves him. He thinks he's amazing. He thinks he's, the next coming. We haven't exactly seen that, but he's been impressive on our air. Struggled a little bit in his last fight. He got dropped with a left hook. Nioa Inoue has one of the best left hooks in boxing. So
that's not good.
You know, shades of what could be kind of cross your mind when you think about this fight. But regardless, I'm happy that he's getting this big opportunity. I'm happy that it's going to be in Vegas. I'm happy that I am going to be there and I'm going to be on the
what?
Call. Whoa! Breaking news.
You're going to be there?
Gonna be there
Sunday night. I'm interested in, like, obviously I'm interested in the Cardenas. You know, this could be, who knows? I mean, Inoue has shown, I wouldn't say slippage, but he's shown some signs that he is a human being. You know, he's getting hit more and more.
He's in his fourth weight class, so
in his fourth weight class, and he's 30. So yeah. I am not saying that Ramon Cardenas can't pull off the unthinkable. I'm not saying that Ramon Cardenas can't give him a great fight. I mean, that's more likely a great fight. I want to see some entertaining stuff. I want the fans to leave happy. All that's great stuff. But I am really looking forward to Inoue fighting in the States. And is he going to do press? Is he going to... I'm just curious, because like you said, Chris, like, this isn't Inoue fighting in Vegas in 2018 or 2019 when he was just like, oh, we kind of heard about this guy. This is pound for pound number one, number two.
Yeah, superstar.
This is a superstar. So him coming to Vegas is a very big deal. And Top Rank, I want to see how they position him. I want to see how they utilize him. I want to see how what type of media he does and all that. And another thing, too, is the Akhmadaliev fight, which we are now going to get, I would say, sometime in September. And back in Tokyo, I assume, and definitely be in Japan. That's another thing, too, because it's like, all right, Cardenas isn't a household name. Inoue is pound for pound. He should be fighting better opposition. Picasso pulled out of it. There's not much competition left at 122 because Inoue is just disposing of them. So if you're going to give us Cardenas, no offense to him, like, and then you're going to say we're going to get Akhmadaliev as well, who fans have been calling for, who I think is pretty much the last, like, remaining contender at 122 before Inoue potentially moves up. I mean, this is fun. This is an all-around win for me.
Well, Dan, let's cut all that away. Why is this fight happening?
Mexican. Why?
Mexican.
Booker Dinas?
Yeah. Picasso was supposed to be the guy, right?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I think
he cut his ear off and he's out of the fight.
Stupid. Anyway, I was in...
good joke, Ed.
I was in... which fight was I calling? Oh, the Keyshawn Davis fight. And I was in New York City. And I was speaking to some of the unnamed Top Rank brass. and they asked me about.
There's only three of them, so yeah.
Well, I mean, people who know who know. People yeah. who know know. People yeah. who don't know can speculate. Anyway, so I'm speaking to one of the three. Mm-hmm.
The Godfathers, three. The Goodfellas, right. I call them.
Goodfellas, nice. Okay.
Jacobs, people wouldn't Moretti, and what's in the third? I guess Aram. Keep going.
Anyway, so we're talking about Picasso. What do you think about Picasso and you know, in a way? Like, oh, what do you think about Picasso is really what happened. I was like, oh, so I'm like, oh, that's going to be the Inouye. That's going to be the Inouye fight. But then he turns it down. So who's the next viable Mexican, young, been doing good, but also looks vulnerable enough? Ramon Cardenas. Yeah. And here we are.
So yeah. So be it. I mean, Inouye gets another knockout probably. He's in Joe Tessitore. I can hear him right now screaming. We're in Vegas. It's a Sunday night. I'm interested in this whole weekend.
Cardenas can punch, though. He's a puncher. So
there we go. So was our guy Neary. Dropped Neary.
That's what I say. Neary. Yeah, Mexican puncher. Dropped Inouye. So can Cardenas make this a fight? Can he upset the odds and, I mean, win? But what can he actually make it a good fight? The kid is sharp. He punches hard with both hands. He showed weakness in his last fight when he got dropped by a guy who's not really a puncher. But that guy's big and he came down in weight. You know, Inouye is a much smaller guy. I don't know, man. Listen, if he shows up under those lights, it could be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And it's on a Sunday night and you're asking, why is this on a Sunday night? It's because Friday night, New York City, it's a crazy weekend. Friday night, in New York City, Times Square, is Ryan Garcia, Rolly Romero, Teofimo Barboza, David Haney versus JC Ramirez. Saturday evening in the States, Saturday morning in Saudi Arabia, is Canelo versus William Skull. So you're getting yourself a Friday, Saturday, Sunday triple header.
Woo-wee. Boxing is
I wouldn't say it's the best fights, but it's definitely quantity. Is it quality? That's up for you. It will entertain you, probably. I'm interested,
profile,
like...
Profile-wise, they're big.
Imagine there was someone out there that went to all three. So Friday, you start in New York Friday. That I don't want to be that somebody, because unless someone's willing to pay me to do it. Friday, New York City, Times Square, you take that all in. You get on a flight immediately after, direct to Riyadh. And you watch Canelo beat William Skull. Get on a flight immediately to Vegas for Sunday. I don't know why anyone would ever do this, because it would probably be a fun vlog, but your brain will be mashed potatoes.
It would take a Dan Canobio to do that.
Maybe 10 years ago.
What do you mean? Maybe if I was still a young man.
I am a young man, but like I don't know if I have that hunger anymore to do that. Like, what's
You're
the payoff?
You're as hungry now as ever. With Dan, what are you talking about, dude?
What's the payoff? How much are you paying me to do that?
Well, okay, so all right, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
And who's paying? Ring Magazine? I don't think I'm in with them yet.
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 When you're in with them, you're out with me. So
I don't know about that. There's a lot of moving and shaking going on in the boxing world, especially in the media too. But that's going to be a crazy weekend, man. That's going to be. I'm going to watch all three for sure. I think more likely, obviously, you take the Saudi out of it. It would be cool to go do the whole fight week in New York, watch the fights Friday night, and then fly Saturday morning to Vegas, you know, get a nice meal Saturday night, maybe hit a pool, watch some college basketball. No, college basketball won't be on by then. And then Sunday, you know, watch Inouye. I've never seen him fight live. I might do that, especially if you're going to be there.
Come on out, dude. I'm coming out, so I'm hosting the weigh-in as well on Saturday. Wow. So I'm gonna host the weigh-in, and then I'm going to find somewhere to watch the Canelo fight, because it should be around the same ish.
It is a fight city. You'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Around all fight people, you watch on your phone.
Maybe you should come out for that, Dan.
What's that?
We'll do a watch along for the Canelo fight in Vegas.
Yeah, I saw Christina Poncher put out a tweet that she wanted to set something up.
Why don't we team up with Poncher?
Sounds like fun, but I'm not missing the Friday thing. I probably, if I don't have a seat for the Friday thing, what I'm hearing for the Friday Times Square event, I'm hearing that it's going to be a logistical nightmare when it comes to who's actually going to have a seat. I heard very limited seats. I heard a lot of Saudis are going to be there taking up these seats and then fight family, like four tickets for each fighter. That's it. You know how these guys roll. I mean, there's tough. 50 people in Haney's crew. The rest are just going to like stand behind barricades and wear diapers like it's New Year's Eve, pee themselves, poop their pants. Is that what I'm not doing that. I've worked too damn hard, but I don't know.
Well, regardless, you should fly out Saturday morning. Come meet me in Vegas.
Right, you're going to be in Vegas. And this is Inoue. Like, I've never seen the guy fight live. Mind is churning right now. That would be cool content. That would be cool. I'll do a vlog there where I'm in New York all week. I'm in Times Square. Next thing you know, I'm in Vegas and I'm watching Inoue. You know, I'll talk to our guys.
With me, we're watching the Canelo fight, just chilling, hanging out, having some drinks, watching the fight.
Dude, it's fucking awesome. I'm doing this.
What's Mitch doing? Call Mitch. Let's go.
Mitch, our super producer. He might be getting another job. I'm a little upset, but I'm happy for him as well. But we'll find.
I hate that. I hate to hear that.
Yeah, Mitch, our super producer, who edits everything for us.
I'm going to start. All right. So you know what? I'm going to pay him not to work. I'm going to do that. I'm just going
to he might go to the highest bidder. He's looking.
I will finance him not to work.
I love this. I love this weekend, and I really like the idea of doing that. So stay tuned, everybody, because I'm probably going to do that. Good transition here would be into that LA press conference that we got. Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney got a little more lively. Bill Haney chewed out our friend Todd Grisham, called him a piece of shit numerous times. Listen, if you listen to our last episode, I said that Grisham, like, he gets people going. Like, he's the ultimate ball buster.
Gets people going.
He worked for WWE. He handled himself great in that interview, I thought. But this press conference was a little more what I was expecting in New York. Teofimo wearing makeup. I don't know what his deal is. Or Barboza wearing some, like, leather chaps. I don't know. Did they coordinate that? I don't know. But it gave us some more fireworks, Chris. I'm excited now.
Yeah, well, this is what we were expecting, right? All these names, like, you put them on a dais, we're expecting fireworks. Now, they're not in the matchups exactly that we want, but regardless, you got all these characters, all these names, all these people who are normally explosive in the same place. You're gonna get some stuff. First press conference, we got nothing.
Oh, duh.
This one, we got Teofimo Lopez throwing haymaker slaps.
Forgot about that.
At Barboza, we got Bill Haney, who's normally the mouthpiece for Devin, attacking Todd Grisham, who is a staple in our sport. I actually spoke to Todd this afternoon.
I texted him right after. You know what I said? I said, I don't know, man. Bill was making some pretty good points there. He gave me a middle finger emoji back.
Yeah, Todd's going to be coming down here to Florida, so I'm going to go hang out with him. And
nice.
I'll talk to him in person about it. So
apparently, Todd
mentioned
upset.
Nothing about the press conference. He just talked about hanging out.
Yeah, yeah. So, Todd. Yes. Apparently, Bill was upset that Todd, like, he didn't introduce him the right way, even though Buffer introduced him fine. You know, youngest undisputed champion, all his accolades. And then Grisham goes up on the stage, has a different role than Buffer.
I think he wanted him to introduce Ryan differently. He wanted him to be like Ped Cheat Ryan.
Right. And now introducing PED Cheat and conspiracy theorist Ryan. No, yeah, like Haney, that's what Bill Haney wanted. I think what he was upset with was that Grisham he said something about the chin of Devin Haney. Like, what do you say to those that say that you don't have a chin? And I thought Haney had a great answer. He goes, I got up off the canvas 5-6 times, however many times he was knocked down. That shows you that I got a chin. And then Grisham said, yeah, that shows you got a heart too. So that apparently wasn't good enough for Bill Haney. Another thing that Grisham asked Ryan Garcia was, you know, or asked, yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure he asked Ryan Garcia, do you think the punishment fit the crime? Out for a year after the PED testing. And so he did bring up the PEDs. They did bring up Haney's accomplishments. They did bring up something that all fans are now pointing to at Devin Haney, is, are you chinny? Like, can you withstand 147 pounds? Can you withstand the power of Ryan Garcia again? So it was a totally fair question. Bill Haney's drumming up controversy. I mean, it got us talking about it, so it did work. But made me laugh because it came at the expense of our friend Todd Grisham.
Listen, if anybody deserves it, it's Todd.
He's like, you're a piece of shit. He said it numerous times. Like, if someone was calling me like a piece of shit, it's such a like a, it just cuts right through. If someone calls you that on camera, no less.
But Todd, like, it was such a professional. He took that in stride. Like, his voice didn't change
rate,
nothing.
No, nothing. I watched it so many times, and I wanted to see, like, does his heart rate increase? You know, does he start, like, blinking a lot? Is he getting pissed? He held his own, and he fired
Todd
back
worked in
with
WWE.
Great counters.
Like, yeah, he's used to that. He was part of these promotions at times, you know, like.
Yeah, Vince McMahon.
I'm pretty sure he got body slammed at one point, right? I think he got thrown through a table. Like, listen, this is Todd is built for this stuff. So that was not a bad look on Todd. So
no, I thought
if anyone deserves it, it's Todd, because he can handle it better than anybody.
He can dish it out too. So I was very, it was kind of funny to see that. Yeah, I thought Haney was kind of overreacting a little bit, but he's a dad and he's a promoter and he's a promoter dad, and they get pretty emotional.
And he's a talker, man. He's good at it.
Yeah. I mean, everything that came out of that presser, I turned it off to YouTube, and I was like, that was pretty fun. That was like 35 minutes of like entertainment. Like, Ryan Garcia started going after Haney. It seems like his lawyers were probably like, all right, the shackles are off. Like, he's not going to sue you.
Get him.
Like, let's go. Let's get this rolling. Haney was a little more talkative. The only person that wasn't talkative, and I kind of feel bad for, is I don't feel that bad for him, is Ramirez. Like, he just feels like he's on the wrong stage here.
He is on the wrong stage, because he's, at one point, he was like, at least in the weight class, boxing royalty, right? He was like, he was like the top guy at 140. I don't know if he was
unified.
Unified fought Taylor for the Undisputed, lost that fight, but was very much in that fight.
Right.
But yes, a boxing royalty at one point, like right at that cusp, and just never was able to, you know, breach that. I mean, Olympian, sparring partner for Pacquiao, multiple time world champion.
Yeah. Never was a talker, though.
Never a talker. Old school Mexican, you know, like, my performances speak for themselves. But, you know, his career was a little stagnated for a couple of years. He didn't never made that big fight. He lost that Taylor fight, was out for a long time. Had a family, had a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Super respectable guy. So for him to be on this kind of stage, he just does not fit the bill.
Okay. And also, another thing that I found out, and this isn't, I mean, everyone found out, is that the fight is at 144. Did you know that?
Which fight?
Haney versus Ramirez.
Good.
But they're boiling Ramirez down to 144.
No, he's a 40 pounder.
He's big, though. Like, he's.
So is Devin.
I guess it's not a big deal. I thought it was all right.
No, because he fought Barboza at 140.
I guess it's a way for Haney to kind of ease his way into 147. And
it's actually better for Ramirez. I thought he looked boiled down at 40 when he fought Barboza. He looked bad against Barboza. Yeah,
he did look horrible.
He looked shot, which you can blame it on his age, you can blame it on his career, or you can blame it on the weight. And for a guy as big as him, it could definitely be the weight. Like, so, like, you're not saying, like, I hate to say he looked shot. I hate saying a guy's shot. He looked shot against Barboza.
Yeah.
His footwork is bad, but weight can do that to you. Does the extra 4 pounds now bring him back to life?
Yeah, I just was like, all right, 147, and so let's see Haney at 147. And then we hear that it's at 144, so.
I think both of them would be better at 47, honestly. I think Haney's going to have trouble making 44, too.
It was weird. It was just weird. I was like, come on, you said you're making your welterweight debut, so let's see you at 147.
Manny Pacquiao did that to me, too. We're fighting for the welterweight title, but the fight's at 144. How does that make sense?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, we fought at 44, dude. It was a welterweight title at 44, and I had no negotiating power, of course, because I'm fighting Manny Pacquiao. And I'm like, why? Why didn't you just make it 47? Freddie was like, nope.
Freddie
was like, Chris is too big. We're going to make him.
You fought your whole career at 140.
Yeah, but he, I remember when he saw me. I remember the very first time Freddie saw me. He was like, fuck. And he's told me every time since. He's like, I can't believe you put Manny Pacquiao. You're so big. They wanted me boiled down as much as they could. Also, they were bringing me across the world. So making weight is one thing. Making weight across the world is a different thing.
Not saying that you fight the same way as Margarito, because you don't. But
no.
He probably was thinking the same thing. Like, oh, shit. Like, Margarito was... You and Margarito are probably the same height.
He's actually taller than me. He's a giant man. He's one of the biggest Mexicans I've ever seen.
Besides, who's that guy? De Los Santos?
Zerto.
In Zerto? Or the guy in the UFC?
Zerto is literally the... Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
The biggest Mexican fighter you've ever seen.
Yeah, biggest
I'm sure there's some boxer. Very big, giant Mexican guys over in Mexico. Part of the cartel and stuff.
Bodyguards.
Bodyguards.
Probably in a Quentin Tarantino movie.
So that's one of the fights. I think who's stealing the show in these press conferences is Tio and Barboza, because there's some genuine hate there. And I also think that's the best fight on the card. That's the closest 50-50 one. It's not 50-50, but I'm just
I was asked today about a prominent person, what are the chances that Barboza springs the upset? And I was like, it's not that crazy.
No. Not at all.
No.
He can box. Does he have the power to keep Teofimo off of him?
He's big. He's big for the weight class.
He's big. He's much bigger than Teofimo. And Teofimo's such a live wire, and who knows what's going on in that head of his. He's just so cringy. He's just weird. Like, his whole act is just strange. It's just so weird. And I don't know if he's going to overlook Barboza, because it seems like he is now signed on with Turkey. And that means a lot of money. That means a lot of future fights. And he could be fighting any of the two other guys up on the dais. It could be Ryan Garcia. It could be Devin Haney. So I don't know if he's going to overlook him. And also, just like technically, fighters like Barboza have given Teofimo fits. I'm not saying that Barboza is a better pure boxer than like Sando Martin or Jermaine Franklin, but he's of that ilk, right?
Yes, 100%. He's a boxer who's willing to win by a millimeter, and he will frustrate. He makes everyone look bad. Those styles who fight from the outside and counterpunch give Teofimo fits, because Teofimo is a counterpuncher as well. And when he leads, he just leaves himself open. We saw that in the Sandor Martin fight. And Barboza is not willing to lead or take risks at all. So he'll just sit back. And yeah, it's a really bad matchup for Teofimo. Teofimo needs to understand how difficult this fight is, and he needs to bring his A game. If he does, I think he smokes Barboza. But if he brings anything less than his absolute best, I think he actually loses.
That's going to be interesting. He's training with Canelo team. Ryan Garcia is not training with Eddie Reynoso. Ryan Garcia is training with his dad and Justin Fortune, who I'm pretty sure was in like PED issues, which is not the greatest thing when you're coming off of a PED violation. Do you know Justin Fortune?
I do.
Fortune?
I do quite well.
Okay. I don't know him at all. I just remember his name being linked to PEDs.
Allegedly. I mean, if you're a strength coach, you're linked to PBDs, PEDs, PBDs,
PBDs, PBJs,
PED, to PED, PBNJs. You're linked to PEDs,
right?
Pretty much every strength coach has in. I think I'm the only guy who has ever worked as a nutritionist strength coach who has never been affiliated with any kind of PED use for any of my athletes. I got randomly tested because I was working with Dana Jacobs, and obviously,
I don't know, man. That episode we did when we turned the curtain back on PEDs and boxing, there was some comments that said, "How does this guy know so much about PEDs? Was he on them?"
No, I have a master's degree in nutrition. Ding dongs! Like I went to school for this stuff. But people
forget
that.
I was replying to everyone.
Yeah, people don't understand that. But yes, I do know a tremendous amount about PEDs because I've studied. I'm actually a researcher. Oh, so I have. I guess this is breaking news for the podcast. I'm a published researcher and author on multiple different scientific journals entries.
Wow.
So we just finished one up. I am a contributor to a scientific article about weight making in combat sports. So it just came out. Check it out. I post it on my socials and all that, but yeah.
I saw that. It's an ISSN.
ISSN, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. I have been a leading researcher and sports nutritionist through them for about 10 years. And so, yes. And not only am I just a fighter, not only do I just study nutrition, but I actually do the research. So when people ask you, why does this guy know so much about these drugs? It's because
like 3 years ago.
The science. Yeah.
That was one of our best episodes. Put us on the map. Good episode. We got in a lot of trouble. So
the peds always are the ped conversations are always really forefront for us in terms of, we did the Connor Ben one, we did the Ryan Garcia one, and again, it's oh, because of my intimate knowledge of these drugs.
I
love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, there's a few idiots out there that will ask that question, but for the most part, it was like, wow, Chris is very knowledgeable on this topic. There's some that say, yeah, he studies this stuff and all that. So I'm not hoping for another PED scandal in boxing, but if there is, this is the podcast to go to.
I'm the guy, yeah.
And I'm sure there is going to be one. I mean, there just was one.
There always is.
Who got caught? Mauricio Lara got caught.
Oh, dude. But like,
he fought like three or four times after the PED test was from the Lee Wood fight, which was in 2023.
The second one, the rematch.
Second one.
Which he lost.
So he lost on PEDs. And then he gets suspended.
Hey, everyone listening. You never get caught the first time you use. Let's put it that way.
All right.
You never get caught the first time.
Which is funny is because the funny part about it is he fought three more times after the failed test.
All right. So he was juicing, you're looking at 3, 4, 5 times probably, if not many more before, you know, this all came out. It's great. It's wild. This sport is insane. This is one of the major reasons I retired, guys. Like I can still fight today, but I don't want to deal with all these drug cheats.
Not only that, Chris, it's like he gets the 2-year ban, which is that's a pretty big ban.
That's a solid ban, yeah. But he's young too, though.
He gets the PED. He gets a 2-year ban. Ryan Garcia gets a 1-year ban. There's not what I mean is there's no like unified rules.
No.
You know, in baseball and MLB, there's I think it's like 10, 20, 30, 40 games for all these different
and also an asterisk on the Hall of Fame or you don't get in at all.
Right.
Boxing doesn't matter. Too.
No, doesn't matter. You get your plaque in Canastota and you move on. Yeah.
You know what, so Dan? I might be in the clean athlete Hall of Fame of boxing. I'll never be in the regular one, but I may be in the clean athlete Hall of Fame.
I can see you getting like a long and meritus award in like 30 years from now. As your
commentator, I'll, as a media member, as a commentator, 100%.
Boxer. That's actually a goal.
That's a goal for me.
Yeah, world champion, media guy, all your contributions to exposing drug cheats, that all gets into one. And you get the long and meritus boxing award. And I can deliver the.
You can do open. The speech. You'll do the open. You'll open us.
We'll all be old and gray.
Yeah, so, you'll be in there too. You'll be in there too as a media member.
I hope so. I hope so.
Your dad will be in there. You'll be in there.
Kenobios, baby, taking over. Mm-hmm. So that was the presser. Lively. I'm looking forward to that fight. It's like 50 days away.
Not Blake, but boxing.
She's in the news. Where else do we want to go? Let's go to Keith Thurman. Wow.
Thurman.
Keith Thurman is back. He knocks out Brock Jarvis in the third round. Unbelievable combination. Showed some timing, showed some speed. But for Chris, more than what we saw inside of the ring for Keith Thurman, it's about Keith Thurman getting inside of a ring. First fight in 3 years. He went through a training camp. He didn't get injured. He got in the ring, showed good timing. He's a name.
Coming off a bad injury, a bicep blowout's bad. Dude, that's bad, especially at 30. Right. What is he, 36?
36. Keith Thurman is a name, and he's in a really fun division. I'm curious to see what's next for this guy.
Yeah, I mean, people ask me, oh, is Keith Thurman back? I'm like, well, no. That was a get-back fight because Brock Jarvis is...
He started his career at 115.
He's very low level, we'll put it that way. I called his first fight in the U.S. at 135, and he like struggled mightily at like... tooth and nail, fighting for his life with a journeyman. And then he gets stopped by Liam Paro at 140 in the first round. And then he fights Keith Thurman at 154. So he is what he is. It was a utility fight for Keith Thurman to get back into the mix of a very, very hot weight class. So there's that. He did what he's supposed to do. Keith Thurman showed world-class skills. His nickname is One Time. If he was still One Time, he would have knocked him out in the first round. He hit him with a right hand in the first round. He did a pull counter right hand. And like Jarvis didn't know what world he was in. And Keith looked like he was like, you know what? Let me get a couple rounds. He let him live a little bit. But the final knockdown, it was like
awesome.
It was like a 3-2 and then a left uppercut. Bang! Throwing the beautiful combinations that Keith is we're all used to Keith throwing. So it was nice to see that. So you got a little nostalgic. I call him Keith once upon a time now because it's been so long.
Bro, but he's
he looked good. Just, he looked good.
Yeah, he looked good. And the timing was there inside the ring. I know I'm not going to put too much into it because of his opponent.
His opponent was god awful.
But what if he went like labored through this fight and went and looked horrible and his legs looked
heavy? He should have retired.
Right. His legs look heavy and he can't get him out of there. He did what he's supposed to do. He went in and delivered a stoppage. He hasn't had a stoppage in 9 years, which is a wild stat. You know, I'm talking about like a stoppage in the ring. His last one came in 2013, I believe, or 24. I don't know. 9 years, something like that. Long time. Hasn't been in the ring in 3 years. So obviously he was supposed to fight Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman was supposed to fight Tim Tszyu last year around this time. Gets the bicep injury. Tszyu goes on to lose to Fundora and lose to Murtazaliyev. They're trying to rebuild that fight. Like Keith Thurman fought in Australia for a reason. Tszyu was ringside for a reason. Tszyu is fighting April 6th against Joey Spencer in order to try and revive this fight of Keith Thurman and Tim Tszyu, which I love to see. But Thurman said something in the ring, and he said something after the fight. He's like, yeah, I haven't signed anything to fight Tim Tszyu. He's got to get in the ring and win. He's coming off two straight losses. If there's another contract comes along and another name comes along, another promotion comes along, I'm listening because I'm 36 and I'm still a name and I got to make the most amount I can for a potential fight. So as much as I want to see him fight Tim Tszyu, I don't think that's locked in because Thurman can go to Riyadh. Thurman could fight Fundora. Thurman could fight Spence, which I think would be very unlikely. He can fight Virgil. He can fight any of the guys at 154 because he's Keith Thurman once upon a time.
Once upon a time. Yeah, no, that was, a very smart move by Keith and his team to throw that out there. Like, hey, listen, we're not locked into that. Listen, that fight makes so much sense, and that's exactly where they're going. But he threw his hat into the Riyadh. He goes, yo, I'll take some of that Saudi money. If you want me to fight one of these guys over there, I'm 36. Put it out there. I'm here to play. Let's go. I saw Rick Merigian, the manager of Virgil Ortiz,
right,
throw out that fight of Ortiz and Thurman. I mean, it's a good name for Ortiz. That's a really, really tough fight for Thurman. But you put that in Riyadh, everybody gets paid. Eh, I could see that fight. Murtazaliyev, nobody's touching him with a 10-foot pole. That fight's not happening.
No.
Bohochek, that's not happening.
Keith's not fighting Bohochek.
Way too much risk reward on that one. Who else we got in the weight class? Because Thurman's
Conwell?
Name
no.
puts him right back into the mix.
That's why Tszyu probably makes the most sense. Like, and Tszyu, if they do it in Australia,
100% makes the most sense. Unless you can get Riyadh money for Ortiz, which I could see that. I think number one is probably Tszyu. Number two is probably Ortiz.
I think Ortiz has an injury. It hasn't been officially reported, but I think he got beat up a little bit in that Madrimov fight. Something with his laceration over his eyebrow and something with his hand that might require surgery. This is not official because they were negotiating the Murtazaliyev fight for Ortiz, which would be a title shot. And Golden Boy, I think, kind of backpedaled a little bit because I don't think Ortiz is 100% healthy. But if he does get healthy,
I mean, that was a real fight. It was a tough fight. Madrimov was a big win. he's also on back-to-back really tough fights. He put Bohochek and then Madrimov back-to-back super, super tough fights. He got dropped twice in the Bohochek fight. The Madrimov fight was it was a war of attrition, and he just came out on top. He dominated, you know, with what he, you know, his body work and his aggressiveness. But still, was a very tough tactical fight. I would think a Thurman fight would actually be a much easier fight for Ortiz based on who he's fought recently. But again, if he's not able to train properly, then the fight doesn't happen. I think all signs point to the Tszyu fight because I don't think anyone's going to tread water anymore and allow another Brock Jarvis fight for Tszyu. Like, he's back now. Like, you got your easy one. Now you got to fight a real guy.
Thurman or Tszyu, you mean? Thurman, you mean?
I'm sorry, Thurman. For Thurman.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, and for Tszyu, you could almost say the same thing. If Tszyu gets past Joey Spencer, which isn't like, Joey Spencer could punch. Like, this guy was once PBC's, like, darling, and they were really,
they loved
put him on big cards and stuff. Vito Milnecki beat him. He could punch, and Tszyu has shown like this guy can be anything. He's just a wild card. He can knock you out, or he can get knocked out. So I'm curious to see what Tszyu has left.
He didn't lose to Milnecki. He lost to He lost to
Did they do like Ramos. A prospect fight? Joey Spencer Ramos. Versus another prospect.
He lost to Jesus Ramos. That was the
prospect fight. What it was. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, and he shot him to seven. Yeah.
What about Keith Thurman versus Errol Spence? Errol Spence can't stand
Errol
Keith
Spence
Thurman.
Well, listen, it looks to me, by all signs pointing, that Thurman never wanted to fight Spence. And that's it. How did that fight never happen?
No, it was the other way around. Spence does not like Keith Thurman as a person. He said it numerous times, like he's corny, blah 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 blah. Like Spence, I think, is cool with everyone. He's cool with you. He's cool with Danny Garcia. He's cool with Mikey Garcia. He's cool with a lot of the fighters that he gets. Cool with Crawford.
He was cool with Terrence before and after they fought. So
exactly,
I mean, at least before.
He hates Keith Thurman. I don't know if that's why he never gave him the shot. Like
that
they were clearly two of the best, I think.
But Thurman like had these retirements that just would come out of nowhere. Like
they should have fought in like 2019, 2018.
Right. Yes, but he was in this extended time that he wasn't fighting.
I lost track of all the stop and goes of Keith Thurman's career.
Well, I remember all that because I was in that mix. You know, like I was way before that. I was in 2015 when I fought 2016 when I fought Spence. But I remember Thurman was another name that was getting thrown around for me, and I was like, yeah, I'll fight Thurman.
I remember in Vegas recently, you guys were kind of like you were like sizing him up. Remember we did an interview?
Mm-hmm.
We never put it
each
out.
Other up. Yeah,
it was weird interview.
I'm not fighting anymore, but I remember because we were around the same time, and they like that name came up, and I was like 100%. But then I ended up getting Spence, which was never a good matchup for me anyway. But I don't think Thurman was a good matchup. I don't think Spence was a good matchup for Spence for Thurman either. But yeah, he fought Danny, he fought Sean, and so Sean fought everyone. Sean fought everyone, right? Sean fought except for Pacquiao. Sean fought Crawford, Spence, and Danny, and Thurman.
Mm-hmm. And
he fought the four. Those are the four kings. But those are the four kings, right? At that time, Pacquiao wasn't in the weight class then. The four kings were always Spence, Crawford, Spence,
Thurman, and Danny.
Thurman, Danny, and then Sean was always there as well. So those are the five guys.
That was a really fun welterweight class.
Yeah. So how did he not fight everyone?
Because
Crawford did.
I think it had to do with politics. I think it had to do with Spence not wanting to give him his shot. Like, I was at events back then, 2018, 2019, and, like, Spence just, like, I remember Spence giving him, like, he just doesn't like Thurman. Like, remember Thurman had the two belts. This was at Showtime up front, 2018, at Cipriani's in New York, when Showtime was rolling, PBC was rolling. And it was a huge event to announce their schedule. And I was doing interviews. I just was getting started in boxing media. And Thurman was walking around with the two belts. He was unified champion at that time. I don't know who he just beat. And Spence, I think, had the other one. Spence had just beat Kell Brook. And like it made sense for Thurman to fight Spence in 2018 or 2019. But I think Spence took the Mikey Garcia fight, which made him a lot of money and was just a horrible, dumb fight for Mikey Garcia. And Thurman fights Pacquiao and loses and then kind of disappears. So let's revive it. PBC is looking for some fights. This will put the ultimate exclamation point on that era. Keith Thurman versus Errol Spence at 154.
You know, it's not crazy because Spence doesn't do tune-ups, so he's not going to fight a Brock Jarvis. He's going to come back and go right to that kind of fight.
Wanted Fundora.
I don't know if Spence is ever going to fight again. Dude, you've seen some of these interviews where he talks about, like, drinking and the car accidents. It's just like, you know, retina damage. Who knows what he's actually dealing with physically. I know no one ever talks about this. He was supposed to fight before Crawford and then said he wasn't feeling good from the last car, because there was two car accidents.
The second car accident,
he wasn't feeling physically able to do a training camp before the Crawford fight, because they were both supposed to fight earlier. Crawford ended up fighting Avanesian, and then Spence was supposed to fight, and then he literally bowed out and been like, nah, my body's not ready. I'm still feeling a little effects from that last car accident. Dude. That went under the rug, and I was like, oh, this guy's damaged goods.
The writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever see him again.
You got a guy start talking about, like, don't drink booze if you're going to be a good fighter. And like,
I saw that. It's a nice sentiment.
Cool, but maybe wait till you retire before you say that, because now, like, if a guy like Thurman comes back, it's like, oh, this fight makes a lot of sense. You can make a lot of money, but you're not the same guy.
I would kind of favor Thurman because he's just...
He's way fresher.
for sure. And like that knockout it sticks in my head. I know it was Brock Jarvis, but that knockout still sticks in there. I don't know. It's just an option. I'm sure the people at PBC are it's crossed their mind, because I think it's Zoo. I think that's the more we kind of peel back the onion here, and like,
yeah, that is the fight.
There are names at 154, but they're not huge names, and Thurman's looking for big ones, and you know, they could do that in Australia. And, you know, there's a reason why Thurman was there. He was in Australia for a reason. Still fun. Lastly, Daniel Dubois, you should see this, Chris, is negotiating with Usyk for a Wembley fight. This comes on the heels of Dubois pulling out against Parker. The WBO just ordered Parker versus Usyk. There's a lot of things moving around here, but it makes you think, like, was Dubois really sick? Did he pull out of that fight with Parker because he thought he can get the Usyk fight? Now the WBO ordering Parker versus Usyk. Is Dubois out of the mix? Is Dubois going to fight Joshua a second time? We're shuffling the cards here at heavyweight.
Listen, he pulled out because there was already talks of him fighting Usyk. That was the only thing. And Parker was a dangerous fight. Parker is a dangerous fight. Parker's got way too much momentum. So, yeah, that's exactly what it was. I mean, you want that rematch. You want that big money fight. You go to Wembley. You get 90,000 in there. You get Usyk. You get the rematch. There's just way too many storylines for that fight to be bypassed for anything. And unfortunately, Parker is that guy. He gets pushed to the side quite a bit in this sport. And once again, he's getting pushed to the side.
Well, is he? Because WBO just come out with this order. They ordered Parker to fight Usyk. They have 30 days to negotiate, you know, or goes to a purse bid.
You know what that means?
Put step aside money.
Money.
Is Parker
money.
The king
everybody
of step aside
everybody
money?
Everybody gets paid, dude. Everybody gets paid. WBO gets paid. Parker gets paid. Fight goes on. Money gets paid.
Okay, but when does it get to a point where Parker's like, all right, I step aside money. Great. Everyone gets paid. I want my freaking shot at Undisputed. I want my shot at the world title again. So I want my
right
shot
now.
At Dubois.
He should try and sue everybody, but I mean, I don't know.
It seems like they're just all playing. Like, Turkey takes care of the heavyweights. It's just like, all right, Bacoli, we flew you out here on 10 minutes notice. You're 5 million. You're 5 million pounds. We'll have you come back.
I heard he didn't even make that much money. I heard it wasn't like that.
I heard anywhere between 600,000 and over a million for Bacoli.
That's not a lot of money for that. I mean, for literally no training camp and just showing up. Yeah, but like you just got your brain scrambled.
Yeah, but I think Turkey's gonna take care of him. That's my point. Is like, yeah, Parker. Yeah. Parker is. That's what I'm questioning with the heavyweights. And I'll ask you guys as a fighter, like, is Parker, are they valuing the money or is Parker valuing, I want that belt and I want to be undisputed. I want to be the king of the, on the king of that mountain.
Parker has already been world champion. So he might just be thinking, listen, I'll just get paid now. But I think he's been paid pretty well, especially mm-hmm. recently. I think for him, just knowing him as a person and the conversations I've had with him, he must be world champion again. I think he's got a good solid heart and soul for this business, this sport, not this business. And he wants to go out there and he's a warrior. He wants to fight. He wants to be a champion.
Yeah. So I think we either get Usyk Parker, which is new, fresh, and deserving. Yeah. Parker's deserving of that.
We get Usyk Dubois.
Or we get Usyk Dubois 2 at Wembley Stadium, which will be a spectacle.
Money. Big fight.
I like both of these fights. I mean, we'll see what happens with this WBO ordering ruling and what that all means. I don't really follow that much and on what the steps there. There are others out there that do that.
I think Parker's a tougher fight for Usyk than Dubois.
Well, he's already figured out Dubois. Parker, he hasn't fought Parker yet.
He's already got big daddied Dubois.
He gave him
a coach pep talk after the fight.
He said, Daniel, continue on.
Don't quit. It worked,
but
also like I told you that. You're here because I said you could be here.
Usyk is such a boss.
He big brothered his ass.
Usyk is the man. He just takes out Usyk, tells him you can still do it, gives him the strength that he needed to knock out Joshua, and then goes and beats Fury again. Usyk is in a whole nother world, a whole nother stratosphere.
He's a different thing.
I want to shake his hand. I want to do interview. I want to do my mini mic interviews with.
I want to see you look him in the eye and not like and not like freak out.
I want to ask him some questions and get a read on him. I mean, we have a read on him, but I want to, like, you know, put him through the whatever.
Good luck. I mean, not that you can't get the interview, but good luck getting a read on that man.
No, I just want to get the content. I think it would be so funny. I think it would be hilarious. I want to do that with Inoue too. So maybe when I come out to Vegas, which is now a thing.
We got to schedule that now.
Yep. Got to schedule, get my scheduling boss on that. That is our episode this week. Hope you enjoy the fights. What's his name? Ball. What's his first name? I don't know why it's...
Nick Ball
is fighting this weekend against TJ Doheny. Ammo Williams. Ammo Williams is the main event of that Berlanga card. Omari Jones, who is a USA Olympian, who apparently sold a shit ton of tickets out there in Orlando. Nice. And then you have Berlanga. Not the biggest weekend of fights. It's kind of a la carte. It's a lot of sides. It's no steak. There's a lot of sides. There's some asparagus. There's some cream spinach. There's some starch. Chris, you always like to get a starch at the steakhouse. There's a lot of baked potato. That's what this weekend is.
Fully loaded baked potato.
That's what this weekend is. We're inching our way towards some big fights. March kind of sucks. I mean, it started off nice with the Tank fight, but, man, there's not a lot in between. Not a lot in the middle of the sandwich. Getting hungry.
I mean, we had February is a short month, but we had a good month, and January ended cool, so we're good.
May.
We're rolling.
April, May. I mean, we're getting close to that Stanionis Boots fight in AC, and then after a week after that, I believe it was the Ben Eubank one, which I'm now invested in.
That's very fun.
Yeah. Ebbs and flows. Enjoy it all, everyone out there. Enjoy your weekend. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of the DMs. See you next time.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.